Guten Morgen. We want to continue where we left off yesterday. Today the topic, well, we have a few topics, but the next one will be the church in Israel. And
så vi vil fortsætte, hvor vi slap i går, eller køre videre fra, hvor vi slap i går, og det emne, som vi skal snakke om i dag, det hedder kirken og Israel.
But let me just go a little bit back and remind us what the church is.
Vi tager et skridt tilbage og så minder os om, hvad er kirken?
The church is a body, it's an organism.
Kirken er et legeme, det er en organisme.
Christ is the head of the church.
Kristus er kirkens hoved.
And the guideline to his church and his leadership is the Bible.
Og retningslinjerne for hans kirke og for hans legeme, det er Bibelen.
It's not a building and it's not an organization.
Det er ikke en bygning eller en organisation.
And the leadership has nothing to do with a pope or priest or even a single pastor.
Lederskab i en kirke har ikke noget at gøre med paven eller biskop eller en enkelt præst for den sags skyld.
The church is something totally different to anything we know in this world in an organization.
Kirken er noget helt anderledes end det vi forstår i den verdens organisationer.
That's why we have to expect rules that are very different to the rules we have in this world.
Det er også derfor vi må forvente at der er andre regler end de regler som vi kender fra den verden.
And I mentioned yesterday that the church is known by the love they have for one another, as we just sang.
I går der nævnte vi det med, at kirken den er kendt ved den kærlighed, som vi har til hinanden, ligesom vi lige sang.
And the love which we talk about is not the love what the world defines as love.
Og den kærlighed, som vi taler om, det er ikke den samme kærlighed, som det verden definerer som kærlighed.
It's the love Christ showed to his disciples. By while they were yet sinners, he died on the cross for them and us.
Det er den kærlighed, som Kristus viste for sine disciple, der siger, at mens vi stadig var syndere, så døde Kristus for os.
Yes.
Now, it's easy said, but what does it really mean?
Det er nemt at sige, men hvad betyder det egentlig?
I mentioned yesterday that even the disciples, the 11 disciples, did not understand that Judas was the betrayer of Christ or was the one who betrayed him until he did it. They never saw Christ treating him any other than themselves.
Så vi går nævnte, at alle de andre disciple, de 11 andre disciple, vidste ikke, at Judas var den, som skulle forråde Kristus, før han gjorde det.
Even in the last moment where he said, but Jesus said to Judas, go and do what you have to do. Go.
Selv til sidst, hvor Jesus siger, gå og gør, hvad du skal gøre. Go.
And right underneath it says, the disciples thought, well, he had to go buy something because he had the money.
Ja, lige nedenunder, der står der, de andre, de troede, han skulle gå ud og købe noget, fordi det var ham, der sad med pengene.
The love Jesus showed to Judas was the same he showed to the other man. He did not show any he had no negative approach to him because he was his enemy.
Den kærlighed som Jesus viste til Judas var den samme som den han viste til de 11 andre. Altså han havde ikke nogen negative holdninger over for ham, selvom han vidste at han var fjende. Okay.
So the love Jesus and the Bible is talking about, which we read all over the scripture, it's a choice we make to love one another. It's not because it feels good.
Så den kærlighed, som Bibelen beskriver mange steder, det er ikke en kærlighed, som vi viser hinanden, fordi vi føler, vi har det godt, men det er noget, vi vælger at gøre.
Some of us who are married a little bit longer know that not love does not feel always good.
Nogen har været gift meget længe, og de kender det her med, at kærligheden føles ikke altid godt.
Og even children don't always feel for parents and for children, boy, vice versa. They don't, sometimes they don't obey and they are pretty obstinate, and we still make a choice. We love them.
Selvom for vores børn, selvom de ikke gør, som der bliver sagt, eller ikke, at den her kærlighed ikke altid er der, så vælger vi alligevel at elske dem.
I just talked yesterday to my brother-in-law.
Jeg talte i går med min
brother-in-law, and he has a son which is a very difficult situation.
Han har en søn, som er i en meget vanskelig situation.
But they, as a couple, have chosen to love him and to deal with everything that comes to them.
De er som et forældrepar, har de valgt at sige, at de vil elske ham og så håndtere alt det, som kommer til dem.
They recently had to pay parking tickets in the worth of a few thousand euros.
For nylig der skulle de betale parkeringsbøder, som koster omkring et par tusind euros.
And maybe it's just an honor to talk to him.
Og måske er det bare for at få en mulighed for at snakke med ham.
But what I'm saying here, sometimes it makes no logical sense, but it is just what we are committed to. Christ loved us while we were yet sinners. It doesn't mean that we sin a little bit, it means we wanted to kill him.
Så det er ikke altid nemt, men det siger, at Kristus han elsker os, mens vi stadig var syndere. Det betyder ikke, at det er bare, når vi gør nogle små ting imod ham, men det er, at vi ønskede at dræbe ham.
I want to give you attention. I'm going to go a little bit away from what I have here, but I want to give the attention to the Gospel of John, the first chapter.
Vi vil gå over til Johannes Evangeliet, kapitel 1.
First chapter.
Kapitel 1.
And right in the beginning, in chapter 1, verse 10, it says,
I kapitel 1, vers 10, siger det, han var i verden, og verden er blevet til ved ham, og verden kendte ham ikke.
And verse 11,
han kom til sit eget, og hans egne tog ikke imod ham, men alle dem, der tog imod ham, gav han ret til at blive Guds børn. Dem, der tror på hans navn.
Now, I have, this is a verse which brought me to Christ.
Det her, det er det vers, som bragte mig til Gud.
Because I saw myself as being one of them who rejected Christ.
Jeg så mig selv som en af dem, der tog afstand fra Kristus.
But in this context, it would mean he came to his own Israel. But extended, I mean, the whole world is his, but he came to his own people and they said, we don't want you. It's like you knock at the front door as the owner of the house, as the father of the house, they open up and say, we don't know you, go out.
Så i den her sammenhæng, der kommer Jesus til Israel, altså til hans eget folk, og det var dem, der afviste ham. Man kan sammenligne det med, at husets herre kommer og banker på døren, og så bliver det åbnet, og så siger, vi vil ikke have noget med dig at gøre.
Because we sometimes have to see it so extreme. You know, he has every right to come to his own people, his own country, his own world he created for man.
Nogle gange så må vi se det på den her ekstreme måde, at Gud han kom til sit eget folk, at det folk, som han skabte.
Because the world was just created so that we can live in it.
Verden den var bare skabt for, at vi kunne leve på den.
And we got at the very beginning in Genesis, there was an order given to the people what they're supposed to do.
I første Mosebogen, der ser vi, der er nogle regler, som er givet til folkene for, hvad de skal gøre.
And by the time he came here in the Gospel of John back into his world, his main opponents were the people he chose to be his own people.
Så når vi ser, at Jesus han kommer tilbage her i Johannes evangeliet, så er det, at han kommer tilbage til det folk, som han har udvalgt, altså til hans eget folk.
And I don't need to say much more about it, but you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the Jews, they were so angry with him, they wanted to kill him early on.
Og vi ser, hvordan fariserne og sadukerne og de skriftlige, de er så vrede på ham, at de næsten lige fra starten af bare vil dræbe ham.
Why? Even so, they were waiting for the Messiah. They did not recognize him when he was in front of them, talking to them.
Selvom de forventede, at Messias skulle komme, jamen, så genkendte de ham ikke, da han stod foran dem og talte til dem.
And so why I want to emphasize this is the church, the function of the church is different than the world.
So grunden til, at jeg gerne vil trække det her frem, det er, at den funktion, kirken har, den er forskellig fra verden.
And I think the most difficult thing in the church is the interpersonal relationship.
Det sværeste, som vi har i kirken, det er det her forhold, som vi har imellem hinanden, som fra person til person.
You think it's difficult to get along with your own wife?
Det kan være svært nok at komme overens med sin egen kone.
It's difficult to get along with a few hundred other Christians.
Det er endnu sværere at komme overens med et par hundrede andre kristne.
But the thing is, we can get along because when we look to Christ, we understand they are as much brothers as we are.
Men grunden til, at vi kan komme overens eller kan fungere sammen, det er, når vi kigger hen til Kristus, så ser vi, at hver enkelt er en bror i Kristus.
So the church and Israel is very important. Because the church was in some ways, in Romans we will read in a minute, created, at least from that perspective, that was one reason to make Israel jealous of them.
Så når vi kigger på det her billede med kirken og Israel, så ser vi i blandt andet Romerbrevet, som vi kommer ind på, at kirken blev skabt for at gøre israelitterne jaloux.
God wanted to make Israel jealous because they were so disobedient to them, him.
Gud han ønskede at gøre israelitterne jaloux, fordi at de var så ulydige mod ham.
If you go to Romans 10,
slag i Romerne kapitel 10.
The very famous part in 10:17, and I need to read it myself too. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed, they have. From their voice has gone out and to all the earth, and their words has to the end of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand first Moses saying, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation, with a foolish nation I will make you angry.
Kapitel 10, vers 17. Troen kommer altså det, som høres, og det, som høres, kommer i kraft af Kristi ord. Men jeg spørger jer, har de da ikke hørt? Jo vist, deres røst er nået ud over hele jorden, deres ord til verdens ende. Men har Israel da ikke forstået, spørger jeg. Allerede Moses siger, jeg vil ikke jeres vrede mod noget, der ikke er et folk, vække jeres trods mod et uforstandigt folk.
And read to 21.
Og Isaias går så vidt, at han siger, jeg var at finde for dem, der ikke søgte mig. Jeg viste mig for dem, der ikke spurgte efter mig. Men om Israel, siger han, dagen lang rakte jeg hænderne ud imod et ulydigt og genstridigt folk.
Mm-hmm. And then in chapter 11, he goes on and he says, I ask them, has God rejected the people? By no means, for I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin.
Det fortsætter i kapitel 11, vers 1. Så siger han, jeg spørger nu, har Gud da forkastet sig for det? En del er sikker. Jeg er jo selv en Israelit, af Abrahams slægt og Benjamins stamme.
And then in verse 11, he says, so I asked, did they stumble in order that they might fall? By no means. Rather, though they trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles so as to make Israel jealous?
Altså i forhold til med vers 11, der siger, jeg spørger nu, snublede de for, at de skulle falde? Aldeles ikke. Men ved deres fald kom frelsen til hedningerne for at ikke dem til misundelse.
The whole passage in Romans makes very clear that the Gentiles, it's everything, why we are a church is by grace. It's God's gift to us. Same as Israel, there's no difference. But the thing is, the relation between the church and Israel is still there. And
i Roman, der ser vi, hvordan at Gud hele tiden har udvalgt kirken på samme måde, som han har udvalgt Israel. Altså det er ved noget, vi er udvalgt. Og ja, det her billede mellem Israel og kirken, det er vigtigt.
Mm-hmm. And Christ built his kingdom, and he did, he said, Christ's kingdom is of a spiritual nature. My kingdom, he said, is not of this world. In John 18:36, he said, this kingdom is not of this world, which is really important for us to understand too.
I Johannes kapitel 18, vers 36, der siger Jesus, mit rige er ikke af denne verden.
18:36. You can read that part.
Jesus svarede, mit rige er ikke af denne verden. Var mit rige af denne verden, havde min tjener kæmpet for, at jeg ikke skulle overleveres til jøderne. Men nu er mit rige ikke af denne verden.
We can expect, because the kingdom is not of this world, there's also different rules, not worldly rules, to gain power, but it's a total different rules, and we talked about it.
Når vi ser, at kirken ikke er af denne verden, så må vi også forvente, at der er nogle helt klare forskelle på de regler, som er i verden og som er i kirken.
The rules are by the attitude we, the relationship we have to one another because of Christ.
De regler som der er, de hænger sammen med det forhold som vi har til Kristus.
Attitude is much more important than material powers or anything.
Vores holdning er langt mere vigtig end materiel magt.
The means justify the.
The goal.
The goal justifies the means.
Yeah.
The goal justifies the means, is not what we believe.
Så det her med at målet retfærdiggør handlingerne, det er ikke det vi tror på.
But this is how the world is ruled.
Det er den måde verden arbejder på.
Now decisions are made. If the goal is high enough, good enough, do anything to achieve it.
Verden siger, hvis målet er højt nok og godt nok, jamen, så må du gøre alt hvad du kan for at nå det.
And God would say no. I want to see your attitude and you will achieve it.
Gud han siger nej, jeg ser på din holdning, din motivation, og det vil gøre, at du når målet.
I give according to your godly attitude.
Jeg giver i henhold til den guddommelige holdning, som du har.
Be faithful in little, you will achieve a lot.
Vær trofast i det små, og du skal få meget.
My servant would, he said, my servant would fight. And then in Colossians 1:13, he talks about this again, and it comes back to what we said yesterday already. But maybe you can read it.
I Kolossenserne 1:13 kommer vi tilbage til det samme. Der står, at han frigjorde os ud af mørkets magt og flyttede os over i sin elskede søns rige.
Okay, so when we talk about the church, we are living already in a different kingdom.
Så når vi taler om kirken, så lever vi allerede i et andet kongedømme.
Because it's true that once you are saved, you will not be pulled out of the hands of God. Nobody has that power. It's only God who can let you go or choose you. And once he chose you, he said he will not let you go again.
Det er sådan, at når vi først er kommet over i Guds hånd, så er der ikke noget, der kan rive os ud af Guds hånd.
So in reality,
det, det er, at Gud, han kan
once you're part of the church, you're part of the new kingdom.
Så når vi er en del af kirken, så er vi også en del af det nye kongedømme, det nye rige.
And the rules are different.
Og reglerne er forskellige.
And that's very, very important to understand, and also for Israel. Israel sees the church and is supposed to get jealous of it.
Også Israel ser kirken, og det er meningen, at de skal blive misundelige på den.
And they were, because they should, from the beginning, they were supposed to represent Christ or God on earth, but they did not.
Fra begyndelsen var det meningen, at Israel skulle være Guds repræsentanter på jorden, men det var de ikke.
So, and the next point here is the nation of Israel were temporarily supplanted by the church as God's primary vehicle in his program on earth. And we just read Romans 11, we can look at that again, Romans 11, 20.
Så i Romerne 11:20 ser vi det her med, at Israel de blev midlertidigt tilsidesat af kirken som Guds
they were replaced by the church for the time being, but Romans 11:20.
Romerne 11:20 står der. Ja vel, de blev brækket af på grund af vantro, men det skyldes troen, at du fik din plads. Jeg er ikke overmodig, men frygt.
Okay, that's one, and then there are other verses like in Matthew 21, verse 43, where it talks about again about the kingdom.
Altså Matthæus kapitel 21:33 står der også, det var vingårdsejeren, som plantede en vingård og satte et gære om den, og han gravede en kasse i den og byggede et vagtårn. Han forpagtede den bort til nogle vinbønder og rejste udenlands.
And then the last thing is the Jews will be restored to a position of high regard in the future. There will be a future Israel, a physical Israel.
Der kommer et fremtidigt Israel. Israel skal genoprejses på et tidspunkt.
But I want to make clear, because we are in Berlin just dealing with a group from Messianic Jews.
I Berlin der har vi en gruppe der hedder messianske jøder, som de har nogle omgang med.
And they say, well, for you as a church, it's easy to follow Christ. We have to obey the new commandment, the New Testament, and the Old Testament rules.
De siger, at for jer som hedninger eller som udenforkommende kristne, der er det nemt at adlyde Kristus. Men for os som jøder, der skal vi overholde både den nye regel og den gamle regel.
Yeah, and that's wrong. That's absolutely wrong.
Og det er forkert.
Because that was the argument of Paul against the Galatians, for instance, where he said, oh, come on, are you starting again from the beginning? Didn't you remember why you were saved?
Vi ser det her i Paulus brev til Galaterne, hvor Paulus netop kritiserer dem for det her. Går I tilbage til begyndelsen? Har I glemt, hvad det var, I blev frelst fra?
And now I need to find this.
There are
a few passages. Yeah, it's 3:1-4 probably. Or to 3.
Galaterne kapitel 3, vers 1-3. Uforstandige galater, hvem er forhekse jer? Jesus Kristus er dog blevet aftegnet for øjnene af jer som den korsfæstede. Det ene vil jeg have, I skal vide. Fik I ånden ved at gøre lovgærninger, eller ved at høre i tro? Mm. Er I så uforstandige? I begynder dog i ånden, vil I nu ende i kødelighed.
Yeah, and goes on. The whole argument is that way. But and there are many other passages and many other, I mean, I just read through Galatians, I read through Hebrews, I read through Colossians last week.
There are mange andre steder, hvor vi ser den samme argumentation, altså både i Galaterne og i Hebræerne og i Korintherne.
And the whole argument is, there's now one body.
Og argumentet, det går på det her, men der er et legeme.
And it's a new body in Christ, in Christ, and that means Jews are part of the church if they become under the church. But it has not replaced the Israelites. That's not what I'm saying. But it's a new body out of the church and Israel.
Så altså kirken er et nyt legeme, som er et legeme i Kristus. Og når jøderne kommer ind i kirken, jamen, så bliver de også en del af det legeme. Det betyder så ikke, at Israel er forkastet. Altså der vil komme et nyt Israel.
Everybody is saved by grace. There's no the past prophets. Everybody is saved by grace. No other way.
Alle bliver frelst ved tro. Det ser vi også i profeterne. Det er kun ved tro, vi bliver frelst.
And it's all and only in Jesus Christ.
Det er kun tro på Jesus Kristus.
And that is very, very important to know because, interestingly, all religions besides what we learn from the Bible as Christianity are built upon man-made rules.
Det er interessant, at vi ser, at alle andre religioner i verden er bygget op på menneskeskabte regler.
Think about the Catholics.
Så katolikkerne.
You have to do certain things in order to be a good Catholic and to be in the Church of the Roman Catholic Church.
Der er en masse ting, du skal gøre for at være en god katolik og for at være en del af den katolske kirke.
The Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Mormonerne og Jehovas vidner.
The Islam, Buddhism.
Islam og buddhisme.
Any other sector or cult does the same thing.
Alle andre sekter og kulter, de har det samme princip.
If you do certain things as a person, you can achieve to be a religious saint.
Hvis du gør noget godt som en person, jamen, så kan du opnå at blive en religiøs helgen.
But as a Christian, what can you do?
Men som kristen, hvad kan vi gøre?
It's by grace.
Det er kun ved noget.
You have to believe, but the point is, even God gave us the power to believe. It's all God's grace, and this is humbling because we can't do anything.
Så vi må tro, men selv den tro, som vi har, den har vi fået af Gud, og det gør, at vi kan ikke gøre noget. Altså det er ydmygende for os på en måde.
Because we need to admit, we need Christ. We cannot live without Him.
Vi bliver nødt til at kom til erkendelse af, at vi har behov for Kristus, vi kan ikke gøre noget selv.
And I will say more about it later, but it's not only that we come to salvation in Christ, but we live day by day by God's grace. It's not that we come to the cross on the first day of our life, but every day we come to the cross.
Så det er ikke, at vi bare én gang kommer til Kristus eller til korset, det er dagligt, vi må se, at vi har behov for Kristus, det er dagligt, vi må komme til korset.
So that's why the church is a totally different function. We really are led by Christ daily in unity to live the fruit of the Spirit.
Så kirken får en helt anden betydning, når vi har det her mål med, at Kristus leder os dagligt, at det er dagligt, at vi vokser som enhed.
Yeah, I can say a lot more about Israel in the church, but there are a few distinctions which just to see what there is. The church is Christ's body, baptized into the body of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians.
Vi ser mange ting omkring det her billede mellem kirken og Israel, men der er nogle bestemte ting, som vi tager frem. Det første er, at kirken er Kristi legeme døbt ind til et legeme ved Helligånden.
The church began at Pentecost in Acts 2.
Og kirken begyndte ved pinsen, som vi læste i Apostlenes Gerninger 2.
the church was purchased and built upon the blood of Christ.
Kirken, den blev købt og bygget på Kristi blod.
Spiritual gifts are given to the church.
Åndelige gaver er givet til kirken.
The church is a new revelation, previously unrevealed, and it's a new. It was not known in the Old Testament.
Kirken, det er en ny åbenbaring. Det er noget, som tidligere var skjult.
We can see that the church was planned in the Old Testament, but at the time of the Old Testament, they couldn't understand it.
Vi kan se, at kirken har været planlagt helt fra det gamle testamente, men det gamle testamente kunne ikke forstå det.
The New Testament never equals Israel and the church. Never.
Det nye testamente sætter aldrig lighedstegn mellem Israel og kirken.
Israel still awaits blessing that will follow the literal fulfillment, curses that will fallen upon her.
Israel venter stadig på den bogstavelige opfyldelse af både forbandelsen og velsignelsen, som skal komme på hende.
And the next thing, Israel is a national ethnic entity, whereas the church is a spiritual entity comprised of individuals from all over the world.
Så Israel, det er en nation, et etnisk folkeslag, mens kirken er en åndelig enhed, som består af individer fra hele verden.
So there will be still, as we know, a physical Israel, and the throne of David will still be established, where Jesus will rule from.
Så Israel vil stadig være en fysisk nation, og Davids kongedømme skal opstå igen, hvor Kristus vil være kongen.
And Israel always means a physical descendant of Jacob.
Og Israel er altid en fysisk afstamning fra Jakob.
The church is not the kingdom. The church exists in the present age, whereas the kingdom, which is future, will be inaugurated in the second coming of Christ.
Altså, kirken er ikke det samme som himmeriget. Kirken eksisterer i den nuværende tidsalder, mens himmeriget, det vil være i den fremtidige og skal komme til fuldt udtryk, når Kristus kommer igen.
Okay, there are lots of the kingdom. The study of the kingdom is challenging because there are lots of different emphasis on the kingdom, and but the kingdom as such, the physical kingdom of Christ, is future.
Så når vi studerer det her område,
where he rules for 1,000 years.
Når vi studerer området omkring riden, så er det interessant, fordi der er mange forskellige aspekter i det. Men det fysiske rige, som skal komme, det er noget fremtid, og det er der, hvor Kristus skal komme og være konge i 1,000 år.
Okay. Why I'm going to say again something about the messianic Judaism.
Vi kommer lidt tilbage på den her messianske jødedom.
Why it is wrong.
Hvorfor det er forkert.
At the moment there is, it's like it's eine mode. What's a mode? It's a trend to be, especially from Christians, to support messianic Judaism and Israel.
For tiden, der er det en moderne eller moderne at støtte messianske jødedom.
And I read an article from a Jew who says what's wrong with it.
Jeg læste en artikel, som var skrevet af en jøde, som siger, hvad der er galt med det.
Because he said one thing is very often the argument is we want to reach the Jews as messianic Jews.
Så et argument er, at vi siger, at vi vil gerne nå jøderne som messianske jøder.
But we just read in Romans 11 that we are supposed to make them jealous so that they come to Christ.
Men vi har lige læst i Romerbrevet, at vores formål er at gøre dem misundelige, så de må komme til Kristus.
And Matthew 28 says, go out into the world and make disciples. It doesn't say only Jews make disciples of Jews.
Så i Matthæus 28 siger også, gå ud i hele verden og gøre disciple. Det var ikke kun jøderne, der skulle gå til jøderne.
And the funny thing is that very often people listen rather to other ethnic groups, other cultural groups, because they say, why are you interested in me?
Det er ofte så, at netop det, at andre etniske grupper lytter til andre etniske grupper, fordi de spørger dem, hvorfor er I interesseret i vores gruppe?
Secondly, there's only one body of the believers, and that's Jews and Gentiles together in Christ. It's not, there's no separation.
Derinde så er der kun én, et læme, altså der er ikke en forskel på grækere og jøder, eller hedninger og jøder.
We are not called to make cultural distinctives between the churches, which we have so much today.
Vi er ikke kaldet til at skabe kulturelle forskelle imellem kirken, som vi har i dag.
And the salvation is by grace alone, not by grace and works, or by works and grace. It's grace alone.
Og frelsen kommer kun ved noget, det er ikke ved noget og gerninger, det er kun ved noget.
And what he says is, when you start to the Judaism or the Messianic Judaism, what they do, they have a lot of their traditions again.
Når man ser på de her messianske jøder, så det de gør, det er, at de tager mange af de gamle traditioner op.
And he says, why do you worship the shadow when the truth is already there?
Han siger, hvorfor tilbeder I skyggerne, når I allerede har sandheden?
It makes no sense.
Det giver ikke mening.
And so we need to reject it, but still reach out to the Jews.
Så vi må tage afstand fra det, men stadigvæk prøve at nå jøderne.
And I have a few articles I can send you on that one, which is really interesting because written by Jews, and say this is not Christians who are Jewish and who said Messianic Judaism is really questionable.
Jeg har et par artikler, som jeg kan sende, som netop er skrevet af jøder, som er kristne, men som tager afstand fra det her messianske jødedom.
Okay. Is there any question? Because I would go otherwise into the next.
Er der nogle spørgsmål? Eller så fortsætter vi med det næste.
Der er det også meget vigtigt, at i stedet for, at vi sætter os selv i centrum, ved at spørge om, om jeg er værdig til at blive frelst, at man så sætter Gud i centrum.
So it's important that you not put yourself in the center, but you always say it's God in the center.
Yes, it's very, very important that we understand ourselves as disciples of Christ.
Det er meget vigtigt, at vi ser os selv som Kristi disciple.
And in Acts 1:8, I think he says to his disciples, "You will be my witnesses, not your witnesses." It's interesting.
You
know, when you have, if you go to Wittenberg, and there's actually a very famous painting from Cranach in the city church where Luther preached for 20 years or 22 years.
Så tager til Wittenberg, så der en meget berømt maleri i kirken, hvor Luther han prædikede i 20 år.
Yeah, and you see on the painting, on one side, Christ crucified on the cross.
På den ene side af billedet ser man Kristus som korsfæstet.
And on the other side, you see Luther preaching.
På den anden side af billedet ser man Luther som prædiker.
But in the middle, Luther preaching, the Christ and the congregation.
Okay, så billedet, altså Luther prædiker, så har du Kristus, og så har du menigheden.
Yeah, and what the Cranach wanted to show is, when Luther was preaching, he was preaching Christ, and the people saw the crucified Christ, not Luther.
Så det Cranach prøvede at vise, det er, når Luther prædikede, jamen så menigheden Kristus, den så ikke på Luther.
Because the preacher doesn't want to preach himself, he wants to preach Christ, so they see Christ, not himself.
Så prædikanten mål er altid, at menigheden må se Kristus, ikke se på ham.
It's all about him, and that's you're absolutely right.
Så det er kun omkring Kristus.
And here's the next a very important question. Are there two different kinds of Christians?
Så det næste spørgsmål er, jamen, er der to forskellige kristendomme, slags kristen?
You say no, right?
Nej, det kan der ikke være.
But and this is interesting. Are we all disciples of Christ?
Det er interessant, altså, er vi alle sammen Jesu disciple?
Yes, we are.
Ja, okay. Det er det.
Because that's also not taught everywhere.
Det er ikke alle steder, de lærer det.
A lot of people say there's kind of a second step, a commitment to Christ. You make him Lord of your life.
Nogle kirker prædiker, at du skal have et andet trin eller et andet step, hvor du laver en commitment, aftale eller et tilhørsforhold til Kristus.
Well, there's truth. There's obedient Christian and disobedient Christians.
Der er en sandhed i det. Der er lydige kristne, og der er ulydige kristne.
Yeah, but it says no different categories of Christians.
Men der er ikke nogen forskellige kategorier.
Yeah, and so every time, and that's also wrong with it. Messianic Jews, they think they are different.
Det er det samme med messianske jøder. De tror, de er anderledes eller
forskellige. Or charismatics, they say they have the second blessing.
Eller karismatikere, som siger, at de har fået en anden.
Yeah, or brethren who say we are spirit led.
Eller brødre, som siger, vi er led af ånden.
Like the others are not spirit led. Everybody is spirit led. If you're a Christian, you have to be led by the Spirit.
Hvis man siger, de andre de er ikke åndelig led, men altså som kristne så er alle led af ånden.
So, Yes.
Thanks.
Other questions?
Andre spørgsmål.
Derfor så må det jo altså sådan set til at begynde med heller ikke min holdning, det kommer an på. Men det, der kommer an på, det er, hvad Jesus han har gjort for mig.
So it's not my attitude, but it's what Christ has done for me.
Yes. And truth is, we come to Christ, we are not immediately, you know, thinking, oh, it's everything Christ.
Sådan er, når vi kommer til Kristus, så er det ikke sådan lige pludselig, så er det helt bare Kristus.
But the more we understand who Christ is, the more we understand that we have nothing to offer.
Jo mere vi forstår, hvem Kristus er, jo mere ser vi også, at vi har ikke noget at tilbyde Kristus.
The greatest examples of Christ, like Paul, Peter, and others, said they are nothing when that they are the worst of all sinners.
De største eksempler, som vi har, som Peter og Paulus, de siger alle sammen, vi er ingenting, vi er de største syndere.
And that would be natural, because the closer you get to the to Christ, but because of the studies and because of your devotion to him, the clearer you see your own sinful life.
Det er naturligt, fordi at jo tættere vi kommer på Kristus, jo mere vi ser Kristus storhed, jo mere ser vi, hvor meget vi selv mangler.
The closer you get to the light, the clearer your dirt, your filthiness is.
Jo tættere vi kommer på lyset, jo mere ser vi vores urenhed.
But he'd go to burn out when you are very close to the light.
Yeah. Well, we will be in the presence of him, but then we will be transformed.
Yeah.
Når vi kommer til hans herlighed, så når vi er sammen med ham en gang, så skal det hele blive anderledes.
You know what really is very important, and as I mentioned maybe yesterday a little bit, is that the church, understands that the relationships among each other are probably the most important.
So we snakker om i går, jamen, så det vigtigste i kirken, jamen, det er vores forhold til hinanden.
Because there are three things which will be eternal.
Der er tre ting, som er evige.
And that is God himself.
Det er Gud ham selv.
God himself. And then interpersonal relationships, really.
Og så de personlige forhold.
And the Word of God, obviously.
Altså Guds ord.
So people are eternal, and that's why their relationships are very vital. The relationship to God and the relationship to each other is really what matters. And the relationship to God, everybody else, everybody has to make sure that he has a right relationship to God.
So mennesker er evige, og det er derfor det er meget vigtigt, at de forhold de har imellem mennesker mennesker til Gud, det er evige ting, og derfor har de betydning.
But the relationship to one another is one of the greatest challenge, and sometimes God gives us difficult relationship in order to mature us in himself.
De forhold, som vi har imellem hinanden som mennesker, kan ofte være besværlige, fordi Gud han sætter mennesker, som prøver os, så vi kan blive mere modne.
And that is very important to, and I can talk a little bit more about it, is really how do we deal with hard issues?
Så det er et spørgsmål om, hvordan håndterer vi svære situationer eller svære problemer?
Yeah. I just talked yesterday to my wife because this year we are teaching the counseling class, and she has about 14 ladies in that class. I teach it in general, but one class out of six she is teaching.
Så jeg snakkede med min kone i går, vi har nogle bekymringer omkring, at i år der skal vi køre et rådgivningskursus, og min kone hun står for hver sjette kursus i den her gruppe, hvor der er 40 personer.
And this class is intense discipleship.
Den her klasse, det er meget intenst, og det er meget intenst.
So we want to know what the sin is in your life.
So
we want to know what sin is in your life. We want to know, okay, what problem do you have in your life, and we want to help you to deal with a sinful attitude in your life in order to bring glory to God.
Jeg går ned og spørger ham, hvad er der af synder i dit liv, og hvad kan du gøre ved de synder for, at du kan blive Gud ære?
For example, there's a lady, she's angry with when things don't go the way she expects them.
For eksempel, så er der en kvinde, som bliver sur, hver gang tingene ikke går, som hun forventer, de skal gå.
So, and we can all get angry, I know. There's nobody who probably doesn't get angry. But why do you get angry?
Men spørgsmålet er, hvorfor bliver vi vrede?
Well, there's something you get what you don't want, or you want something what you don't get.
Normalt er det fordi, at du får det, du ikke vil have, eller ikke får det, du gerne vil have.
And so you get angry. You don't get it fast enough. You don't get respect what you want. You don't, you expect it to come home and sit at a made dinner table and have a good conversation. Instead, the house is in an uproar, whatever.
Så det kan være, at du får ikke de ting, du vil have hurtigt nok, eller du kommer hjem, og der er ikke mad på bordet, og du har ikke den respekt, som du ønsker. Det kan være alt muligt.
Or somebody cuts you off on the street, when you are trying to make a turn.
Eller nogen, som drejer ind foran dig lige det, du skal til at dreje.
Yeah, or you are allowed to drive 100 kilometers on the autobahn, and this guy drives 80 in front of you.
Det er tilladt at køre 100 km i timen, men der er en, der kører lige foran dig, han kører kun 80.
Yeah, and he doesn't go to the side.
Han kører ikke ind til siden.
And yes, he even violates the law.
Ja, han bryder loven.
But so you have a right to get angry.
Du har ret til at blive vred.
No. And the question is always, is what makes, what triggers is, and then the question is, how does God think about that?
Så spørgsmålet er, hvad er det, der giver reaktion, og hvordan ser Gud på det?
How does he think about it? Well, and you probably know, he does not want, he said, well, you should be, you should love your enemies, and you should be led by the Holy Spirit, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit is patience, love, long suffering, and so on and so on.
Så Gud siger, du skal elske din fjende, og du skal vise andens frugter, som er kærlighed, mildhed, tålmodighed, og så videre.
Yeah, well, just open up Corinthians 13, for instance.
Lad os kigge på Korinther.
As 1 Corinthians 13. verses 4.
Verse 4.
And just read to, verse 7, 4 to 7.
4 to 7. Kærligheden er tålmodig, kærligheden er mild, den misunder ikke, kærligheden praler ikke, bilder sig ikke noget ind, den gør intet usømmelig, søger ikke sit eget, hisser sig ikke op, bærer ikke nag, den finder sig i glæde, finder ikke glæde i uretten, men glæder sig ved sandheden. Den tåler alt, tror alt, håber alt, udholder alt.
Okay. Well, this is a the guidelines Paul gives the Corinthians how they should behave amongst each other.
Det er de retningslinjer, som Paulus giver til Korintherne for hvordan de skal behandle hinanden.
This is really how we as a church should be to one another.
Det er sådan vi som kirke burde opføre os over for hinanden.
Well, that's exactly also how you should deal with it when you drive in the traffic.
Det er også sådan, du burde handle, når du kører i trafikken.
Or when you come home and the house is not the way you expected it, or your husband comes home 2 hours later than he said. The heart issues are what the church needs to deal with. It's how do you help somebody to deal with a problematic behavior to become a blessing?
Så spørgsmålet er, hvordan som kirke kan vi hjælpe en person, som har nogle besværlige problemer, til at det bliver til Guds ære?
And this is what in biblical counseling, and I say more about it later, is in biblical counseling, we don't want to only solve problems, we want to make those people themselves to problems, problem solvers.
Så det målet med vores kurser omkring bibelsk rådgivning, det er ikke, at vi ønsker at løse problemerne, men det er, at vi ønsker at give dem redskaber, så de selv kan løse problemerne.
Yeah. And that's just to say, it's a different measurement when we talk about church relationships. Yeah.
Christian, I have a question here.
Yeah.
Very often I feel that we say yes mm-hmm. to what you are saying, and then we go in two directions. Mm-hmm. One is that, yeah, we know Christ is in this way, mm-hmm. and then we say, all right, mm-hmm. and close a little bit down on my temperament. I have it sometimes.
Yeah.
It can be other things. You know?
Yeah.
The other thing that is, we go, oh, I had to change.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go in this direction, and you have to say, I can't change. And then give up. What do you say?
Spørgsmålet er, når vi hører alle de her ting, og vi siger, ja, det er rigtigt, ja, det er rigtigt, så kan vi reagere på to måder. En ting kan vi sige, ja, det er rigtigt, at Kristus er sådan, at det er sådan, det burde være. Den anden er, at vi siger, nu skal jeg selv prøve at komme videre, og så så når vi til et sted, hvor vi så giver op.
Yeah, and that is a challenge, because the challenge is that we very often try to do it with our own strengths to change.
Så det er en udfordring, fordi ofte så prøver vi selv i vores egen styrke at ændre os.
And as I mentioned, it is a combined effort.
Og som vi snakker om, så er det et kombineret mål.
It belongs, it is based up on the truth of Christ, on the word of God, and it's you replace a bad habit with a new habit. And it's you have to learn to do it, to think right and to do right.
Så det er kombineret mellem Guds ord og det med at udskifte en gammel vane med en ny vane.
Okay. Only because you found out, okay, that's wrong, doesn't mean that you know how to do the right thing yet.
Bare fordi du har fundet ud af, at noget er forkert, betyder det ikke, at du ved, hvordan du skal gøre det rigtigt.
And it's very and that the relationship of husband, wife, and the church is very important.
Det forhold mellem mand og kone og kirken meget vigtigt.
Because some things we can't do on our own strength at all. I mean, we of course we need the grace of God, but we also need the structure of accountability.
Der er nogle ting, som vi ikke kan gøre selv, selvfølgelig, selvom vi har Kristi hjælp, så har vi også behov for den fællesskab, hvor vi bliver holdt ansvarlige for vores gerninger.
And that it always depends what it is, obviously, but Ephesians 4 talks about putting off and putting on.
Det afhænger selvfølgelig af, hvad det er, det drejer sig om, men i Efeserne 4 snakker Paulus om at tage noget på eller lægge noget af.
For instance, when you say, well, okay, I want to change my my angry outburst when I'm on the street.
For eksempel, hvis du siger, jeg vil gerne ændre min vredesudbrud, når jeg går ned ad gaden.
Then instead of you probably should memorize a few verses that come into your mind immediately when you want to get angry.
Så en god ting, det kunne være at finde nogle vers, som du kan huske, og som kommer til dig lige med det samme, når du er ved at blive sur.
And then instead of you should think about what would be a blessing to the person who you are angry about or the situation you are angry about, and replace that anger with a good thing.
Altså i stedet for at tænke på, hvad kunne være en velsignelse for den person, som du er ved at blive sur på, altså at tage det her vredesudbrud og erstatte dem med noget godt.
But you have to start to think new, different.
Men det kræver, at man begynder at tænke anderledes.
And then it goes to the heart and to the hands.
Og så kommer det ned i hjertet, og så kommer det i
hænderne. It is not a simple, it's not a short thing.
And det er ikke noget, som kommer med det samme.
Yeah. Everybody knows if somebody is addicted to something, addiction, to change addiction is a big, big effort.
Alle sammen ved, at når man er afhængig af noget, det at ændre en afhængighed, det er en kæmpe indsats.
To change behavior and replace them with right behavior is a big thing.
Det at ændre en handlemåde med en anden handlemåde, det er en stor ting.
Yeah, okay. Good. Yeah, one more question and then...
Jeg tænker, med det, når man... mit problem, det er, at hvordan er jeg over for andre? Det er ikke mit problem, hvordan andre de er over for mig. Og det er jo mange gange, at vi blander det sammen.
See, my problem is how I treat other people, is not how other people treat me.
Yeah.
But often we mix these two together.
Right. It's very important. We are called to treat the people always the right way. It doesn't matter how they treat us. We don't treat them good because they are good to us. We treat them good because Christ asked us to do so.
Exactly. Yeah. So we are called to behandle folk på en måde, som Gud ønsker det. Altså, vi er ikke kaldet til at være gode mod folk, fordi de er gode mod os, men vi er gode mod dem, fordi at Gud siger, at vi skal være gode mod dem.
I had a few situations at work lately, where some of our workers lost a lot of money because of foolish decisions.
Jeg havde nogle situationer på arbejde, hvor nogle af os medarbejdere mistede en masse penge, fordi at de lavede nogle dumme beslutninger.
And they violated quite a few principles which we usually talk about.
De brød nogle af de principper, som vi normalt holder os til.
Well, and they obviously expected that I'm gonna get down on them.
Og de forventede, at nu bliver jeg rigtig vred på dem.
And actually, I have another person who is overseeing it, and he wanted to be really upset with them.
Og der var en person, som er lidt over dem, og han var virkelig vred på dem.
So I said to him, you know, this is a great opportunity to teach how to love one another and just help them to understand not to do it again.
So he said, det her, det var en god mulighed til at vise, hvordan vi kan elske hinanden, og bare stille og roligt forklare dem, hvorfor de skal gøre det igen.
When we make, if he would have reacted, or we have would have reacted very angrily, then they realize, okay, money is more important than I am.
Hvis vi var blevet meget vrede, så havde vi måske fået den opfattelse af, at penge er mere vigtigt end det jeg er.
But you know, when you bring up children, you know that the price gets always more expensive as older they get.
Når man har børn, så ved man også, at prisen bliver højere og højere, jo ældre de bliver.
When they come home with a totaled car, you can't say. I'm just joking.
Yamaha has smelled of being totaled.
Well,
have you put insurance?
I had a situation, and we did not have insurance.
Oy.
One day, out of all the days where the insurance were switched, the accident happened, and it was a good thing. It was not the fault of my child, it was our fault because of that. But it cost a good amount of money.
And situation hvor vi var ved at skifte forsikringsselskab, og lige den dag hvor forsikringen ikke gældte mere, der var der en ulykke.
And we
kom til at koste en hel del penge.
We still laugh about it because I had to be angry with myself.
Det var ikke vores barns fejl, det var vores fejl.
Okay, let's take a break.
Yep. Yeah, we have a pause. Okay.